We'll leave it to the lectionary to give us a few texts on Father's Day that don't fit at all. Abraham is at best an indifferent father. I think we could safely say that. But on the other hand, he at least gave them a skin of water and some food before he kicked them out. We have in Matthew, we have Jesus talking, quoting from Micah, how families will be divided over him. And so as I was looking at this, the question that came to me, oddly enough, was the sermon title, Who Does God Use? And the nice thing is that when we look through Scripture, what we see over and over again is that God uses flawed people who have challenges, difficulties, whatever you want to call them, much like ours, only more so. Abraham has to figure out what to do with essentially two wives. One's a concubine, one's a wife, two children. I know no one who's had to deal with that. But we've had to deal with the difficulties that can come with blended families, whether it's our own or some we know, where you have different people coming together from different contexts, and it can be really tricky. We have Jesus talking about how, as I said once again, quoting Micah, that the coming of God in the form of Jesus was and is a good thing, but it also causes dissension, like every good thing. I've heard it said that there's virtually nothing you could get a group of people, 12 or more, to agree on as being good. And I've never tried it, but I suspect it's true, because I've been in groups of 12 or more who have come to with people having some of the most bizarre ideas, sometimes just because that's their personality, whatever it might be. But Jesus coming created a stir. And what Jesus is doing by quoting Micah is engaging again in the rhetorical form of hyperbole, which is exaggeration to make a point. When Jesus says, if you don't hate your life more than you love me, he's not telling you to hate your life. He's showing you a continuum in where you should find yourself. He's not saying that you should hate your parents. He's saying that when it comes to ultimate eternal realities, it's important that you remember that your parents are not your channel to God. The relationship that we have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, comes from God. Our parents model it for us, we hope, can be a big part in us coming to that conclusion that we want and need that relationship. But they can't be it for us. And so we need to remember what goes where. Jesus' exaggerations, Jesus' hyperbole, Jesus' quoting of Scripture causes us more problems than maybe any other thing in the Bible, because we weren't there. This is like trying to figure out what somebody means through a text. Well, maybe an email, because it's longer. And if we're not careful, and I've heard whole sermons on small portions of this text about how you should always be checking your relationship with your parents versus your relationship with your God and with your children. Well, you will go crazy doing that kind of thing, because you're trying to measure the immeasurable. And that's why I went with, who does God use? Because God uses the people that are there, that are here, as we are. Not as we wish we were, not as we were on our best day. As we are. God uses people like Peter. God uses people like Paul. when we read Paul, when we step away, I've been given the gift lately of reading some scholars who study the Bible from the perspective of ancient literature. And when we step away from the nimbus of the halo around Paul, he's a really unpleasant person in some of his letters. And I'm not saying he shouldn't be. I'm not saying he isn't addressing things that need to be addressed firmly. But Paul was an unpleasant person before he encountered the Christ. And in some ways he was afterwards. I would not want people to try to emulate Paul for lots of reasons, not least of which we probably don't want to make tents for a living. But Paul was a workaholic. Paul was someone who responded almost fiercely to challenges to what he'd said. And I'm not saying that what he said was wrong. I'm not sure that fiercely is the only way to respond to people who disagree with you when you're talking about the truth. And when we look through church history, we look to these people that we hold up in high esteem, as we should, that have taught us much, from Martin Luther and John Wesley. We go back to Augustine. We go, you know, as close to whoever we like. And they were all flawed. Augustine prayed, "Lord, give me constancy, but not yet." That's not what we should be doing. You know, that's like an alcohol. You know, that's somebody who's, that's an alcoholic the day before they go to their first AA meeting. "Yeah, I'm going to AA tomorrow, so I'm going to drink as much as I can hold." You know, that's not the point. You're missing something there. Luther was, well, he was an anti-Semite. He caused all kinds of difficulties for the peasants. He encouraged them to think for themselves and then encouraged the nobles when they brutally repressed them. It's a rare person in church history who escapes unscathed with the reality of being human, which only makes sense because God never says anywhere in here that God is looking for the perfect person to do the job. God's looking for people who are like us, who are us. You think back to the founding of Canada. And on this National Indigenous Day, we celebrate the Indigenous view of the world that we can learn so much from, a care and respect for creation that is lacking in a lot of our Western thinking, a spirituality that sees all as having something to offer, not just someone who went to a special school or who has read the right kind of books, a spirituality that's inclusive of all people and even all things, a spirituality that sees the Creator in all life. I've wondered often what would happen, what would have happened if the first settlers had come and while they received the help that they needed to simply survive in this part of the world that was completely unlike anything they knew, if they'd also said, tell us about how you think the world came about. Tell us about your spirituality. What is it that you believe? What is it that makes you more? What is it that makes more than just the day-to-day work? Instead of coming over saying, "You're in our way. This is our land. It was given to us by the Pope." Where would we be if we would have come with a spirit of curiosity about what these new people might know that we didn't, besides how to survive a Canadian winter, a northern northeastern American winter, which the indigenous people helped them do. But God somehow brought goodness out of all kinds of things we don't like. And we're never going to celebrate the mistakes that settlers made, that Augustine made, that Origen made, that pick whoever you want, for whoever far back you want to go, Abraham. The mistakes, we're not going to celebrate those. Instead, we're going to keep those in mind when we look at what good these people have done. Not because we're excusing them, but because when we can do that, we can also look at ourselves with all the flaws that we know about, the flaws that only we know about, because I know I certainly have some that I don't trumpet about. And we can say, in spite of that even, not because of it, God can use me. I tend not to preach about Father's Day and Mother's Day and these other things, unless they sort of fit. And one of the things about being a father is that you don't get a whole lot of training. You get some modeling, some mentoring. You don't need to pass a test. You don't need to get a license. You figure it out as you go along, and you make mistakes. I made mistakes. I talk to my kids about them now and then. They're wonderfully forgiving. But the fact remains, mistakes were made, not because I wanted to hurt them or anyone, but because I didn't know. Because I was too tired. Because I was in a bad mood. And I'm still a father. God has used me over the years when I've been in a bad mood, when I haven't done what I knew I should have done, when I have done the exact opposite. And yet, God has made use of the talents and the skills and the experience I have, because that's who God uses. People. Just like you, just like me. Just like those people in the Bible that drive us crazy, those people in church history that we don't understand how they could get it so wrong. But they're people. God used them. God uses us. And we're the only thing God uses. Flawed, glorious people. Amen.